Welcome to the first edition of Anthony's Awesome Garage for the year of 2018. Got a great show planned for the afternoon, plus going to have a very special guest, Mr. John Dawson from the band Third of Never. And I'm going to be featuring the brand new Third of Never release, and John's going to be calling us around the 5 o'clock hour and all that stuff, but we'll talk about that a little later. We're going to be featuring tracks from the brand new Third of Never release. Austerity is the name of the brand new release. And we're going to be hearing from that, talking about that, talking about the history of the band and the connection with the Gripweeds, because Kurt Rail used to be in the Third of Never and actually performed at the Record Collector a few years back with the band. And one of the drummer from the Anderson Council also joined. And we're going to get into a selection right now, and I debuted this from the Third of Never. And name of the cut is entitled Run Silent, Run Deep, right here on Anthony's Awesome Garage. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage of Anthony's Awesome Garage, the Third of Never. Open your mind. There, folks. Third of Never from Austerity, the brand new release by the Third of Never. And this is what we debuted when we first got our hands on this release here. Run Silent, Run Deep. And you know what? Mr. John Dawson here, he says this is sort of a stripped-down version. Boy, that track did not sound stripped-down to me, man. Boy, did that tune rock. And I believe we have the gentleman on the air right now. John? You there?
Hey, how's it going, Andy?
Man. Yeah. Hey, John. Definitely welcome to Anthony's Awesome Garage, man.
Sounds really good over the phone. I wish I was there in the room with you.
Man, I tell you, all day we're going to be rocking. I'm going to be giving you a copy of this whole program for today, so you can have it
great.
You know, for your archives there, John. Well, John, my first question, well, of course, I go back a lot of years with Mr. Kurt Rail, but before we get into that, did you always grow up in North Carolina, or what's the deal?
Yeah, I've pretty much lived in the same zip code my entire life. I have not ventured very far. Your listeners, their speakers aren't warped. I do have a very thick southern accent. That's real.
That's cool. Hey, it's authentic, man. That's all that matters. Give me your development in the music scene and what, you know, led to you wanting to be in the band. What was your first instrument, and how young were you when you started picking up an instrument and starting to play?
Well, actually, my folks weren't really keen on it. They didn't really let me get I didn't really touch a real guitar until I was about 16. And I never really had lessons. I went to a guy and he would say, "What did you come up with this week?" And I would play it, and then he would solo over it, and then he would write up a fake receipt and say, "Don't worry about it." So my guitar lessons were just jamming with the guy every week for 20 minutes. I was always a big Who fan. I saw them at Live Aid, and even though they were kind of rickety, I still liked it. The guitar was always interesting to me. I love to hear Pete Townsend play, and can't play like him at all, but that was kind of the what made me want to do it anyway.
So basically that was the beginning of the beginning for Mr. John Dawson.
I wish I could have started earlier because I can't read music. I don't know scales. I just kind of pick it up and mess with it till it sounds good.
Yeah,
but I can get other people to like it too.
So. Yeah, but it comes naturally. So it's in your soul.
Yeah, I guess so. Sometimes when you're showing these strange guitar chords that aren't really chords to real musicians, they look at you with a kind of a hairy eyeball, but we get there.
Well, listen, I caught you live once. I don't know if you remember way back a few years back at the Record Collector. I was the MC for the evening. And we were talking.
Great night.
Yeah, we were talking about. Was I talking to you about Captain Beefheart?
Probably. There was a rare album of his in there I'd never seen, and that may have been what we were talking about.
Yeah, well, one of the releases that you had a reference to Captain Beefheart, I believe.
Yeah, on the Down Rising album, there's right. A weirdo instrumental I did called Captain Beefheart's Bar Mitzvah.
That's right.
And
it was originally... Go ahead. No, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
And it was originally 4 or 5 minutes long, and I got convinced to shorten it down to maybe 40 seconds, which was probably the right thing to do.
But yeah, we had an intense conversation on Captain Beefheart, and I started giving you all this history, all this stuff. If it's coming,
yeah, that was the night Bill Sheff from the David Letterman show, his band opened up. That was a fun night.
That was a very fun night, and I was so glad to be part of it. North Carolina, how do you make the connection here to New Jersey?
It's a really dumb story, but I'll be glad to share it. I started the band down here around the time I was going to East Carolina University, but every time we would schedule shows to go to Atlanta or out of state, a band member would kind of drop off or for some reason not be able to do it, and I got kind of frustrated. And there was an album put out by Jim Babjack from the Smithereens called, it was his Buzz Meg Project Band, whatever it is. And I liked the singer on it. That was Kurt Ryle from the Gritweeds. I found out later. And the bass player was awesome, and that's Vince Grogan. After reading, I realized that it was done at Kurt's studio. He was the producer, and he sang on it. And it looked like you could do a lot of one-stop shopping at Kurt's studio. I mean, you got a producer, an engineer, a singer, all this stuff wrapped into one.
I tell you, that Kurt, what a versatile guy.
Yeah, and he suggested C.J. Grogan, who's the lead singer you heard on that track that you just played.
Okay.
And Kurt and C.J. and Vince have played and recorded together and written together a little bit for years. And I just kind of moved everything north. I figured, you know, if we did 10 shows a year in New York, that meant more than playing 50 a year down here in a concrete beer hall.
Yeah.
People who wanted to hear Eagles covers.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man, and I feel your pain.
Yeah.
Basically, the band officially started back in 1994.
Right. A friend of mine named Jody Haskins, and he was the first person I played some of this stuff for who didn't think it was stupid, because no matter what I played, he could pick up a bass and just, it was instant end twistle, whatever. I couldn't play anything too weird for him. And I'm still doing stuff with him to this day, and he's it's basically, he's the reason I had the guts or stupidity to try to put a band together, because when I played it for him and he didn't seem to think it was dumb, well, that's all I needed, and we kind of went from there.
Oh, brother, but, you know, no, but I no, please. I have 3-year releases, and, you know, when you say stupidity, no, I can't agree. I mean, you guys put out some really awesome stuff now throughout the years. You started with an EP right now. What's the name of that EP you started out?
That was between the first album and second album. The EP was for the song Lifesaver, and it had some of Kurt's solo tracks and some CJ tracks. And that was kind of a placeholder, because we were ready to put something out, and we had some shows coming out. So we said, well, let's put a little EP out as a warning shot to let people know we're still doing stuff.
I see. Now, let's see. You had, let's go over your all the releases that you had out now. The first release officially was?
Mood Ring,
okay. Then the EP, right?
Right.
And then the one that came out a few years back now.
That's Downrise.
That's Downrise.
When we were pushing at the record collector.
Right, and Lifesaver was on that too.
Yes.
I believe, yeah. What a night that was. And now you have this new one. And
Austerity is, we kind of wanted to, when I was talking about stripped down, I didn't, maybe that wasn't the right word.
No, it wasn't.
Sound the way we sound live. And instead of having, you know, 12, 13 different tracks on a song, we just wanted it to basically be the bass, two guitars, drums, vocal thing, and just kind of give those, that aspect of the band a little more room to show through. And I think if you take the Austerity album, which is kind of a more live feel, and kind of mix it in with all the other songs, it mixes well, I think.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm so impressed with this new release. That's what I mean. When you said, you know, stripped down, I said, well, you know, I was like expecting, I said, well, maybe this ain't going to be as good as the other. And all of a sudden, I said, what's he told you, stripped down? I said, no, I can't agree.
Yeah, we stripped down and turned up, maybe that way. We just kind of went in and Kurt arranged things so we could play live, which is not usually the way he likes to do things, but he did us a solid, and it came out just like we wanted it.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. Give me the lineup who plays on this new release right now.
So C.J. Grogan, lead vocals and guitar. He plays some keyboards. Vince Grogan on bass. Mike Palilli, he's been our drummer since really the end of Mood Ring. Kurt didn't want to drum and sing anymore. He wanted to come up front. So we got it. Mike's been the drummer since that time. He was in a band called Buzzkill, and he also played with the Anderson Council a bit.
That's right.
And then I do what I do. That's who we are right now.
All right. Well, any of the tracks on the new one, on the new release that you would like to talk about at this particular point? Are there any ones that stick out to you? Or
Dig the Views was always the one to me that seemed like it would work best on the radio. The original idea was to, like, if Sammy Davis Jr. was still alive and he would want to cut like a swing in Vegas album with a rock band.
Uh-huh.
And some of that survived. The demo swings a little more, but when Mike got a hold of it, it kind of turned into a Russian tank, which is that's fine too. And
that's a good term.
One guy who reviewed the album said that all these songs have there's a push to them, and that's from Mike. If you don't watch it, he'll run over you. in a good way. So that's kind of the one that it was always intended to have a bit of humor, but it's kind of about basically getting out of town for a while, forgetting your troubles for a few hours or a few days, that kind of thing, and that never goes out of style.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Well, you can go back and tell Mike that he ran me over. Because, yeah. You know, I was very, like I said, when I reached out to you, I was very, very curious, you know, what I was going to hear, you know, and I was, like, very excited to, you know, get the release. As soon as you gave me the downloads, I mean, the very next program, we ended up with Run Silent, Run Deep. That's mm-hmm. what we debuted with. You know, because I just got everything so quickly, and I just wanted to have that. Ooh, that song has such impact.
Yeah, that riff has been around for probably a decade at least, and uh-huh. every rehearsal, I would kind of throw it out, and people would they liked it, but I think they were making fun of me because I just played it all the time. And actually, before the record collector show, somebody said, "Well, go ahead and play it and get it over with." So I threw the riff out, and then I think Mike started playing along to it, and CJ said, "Do you have any chords?" So we threw some chords with it. CJ started singing. He put a bit blistering solo in the middle. And it took about 12, 13 years, but we got it together finally.
That's it. That's incredible, man. John.
And we got... John Rabbit Bundrick from The Who and Pete Townsend, and he's played with dozens of legendary rock acts.
Well, look at that.
A lot of the Hammond organ.
Well, just think about it. You got a Who musician in there now.
Yeah, hey, Rabbit, he's been on every album we've put out, and I really still don't know how that happened. It sounds made up and boring, but I contacted him in the hopes I could afford to get him to play on one track. And he said, "Well, send me the whole thing." So I sent him all the tracks, and like 2 days later, he had done keyboard tracks to everything.
Well, he dug the music, and, man. That's all it took.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's so easy to work with. We'll ask him to do a certain thing on a track, and then if he has an idea, he'll do that too, and he doesn't care what you use, what you don't. He's very easy to work with.
I've done radio now for about 35 years. Rock and roll, unfortunately, I've only been doing rock and roll for 4 years, believe it or not. I started out with a reggae show, believe it or not. You know, and I see. You see the connection in a sense, because you know I had my Bob Marley days in the 70s. You know, and I went up and you know, and it was this rock and rollers that were the first Bob Marley fans. I don't care who you tell that you know that. Oh, I was listening to Bob Marley. No, rock and roll kids brought Bob Marley to America.
And even later, like in Johnny Cash later in years, the only people that paid him any attention were rock fans. They're a pretty accepting bunch when they want to be.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, so anyway. Well, that was another story. But, but you know, I will tell you this, and if you see me on stage, and you only witnessed me once, but you sort of feel sort of a mystical flow going when I'm reciting. And I get that from Bob, because Bob actually made me feel the music. I consume the music, but I feel the music, you know. And I guess like I get very inspirational. And you caught me about my vibe when I was very excited about you know your new release and all that stuff, you know.
You know, when you listen to these records, it sounds like people are just plugging in and playing. But as you know, trying to get four people to agree on a song in a recording studio when mm-hmm. there's four different opinions and four different personalities by the end of it. You're lucky if the no one ends up in the emergency room.
That's true. But, yeah, I feel you. I feel your pain. Oh,
it's
brother!
It's like four ex-wives getting together to see who was loved the least or something. It's not always easy.
No, it's not. No, it's not. That's why this was a great. John, this is a great body of work you put out here. That's all I can tell you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And thank you for the exposure.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, look, let me tell you something. And this is the truth. You know, I don't play any bad music, period. You know, you get these people that, you know, will just play stuff. But you know what? There's a certain criteria to be on Anthony's Awesome Garage. And when I heard the first release of yours, man, you guys, you made the criteria instantly.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. For people that don't know, Kurt Ryle, people need to check out the Grip League.
Trust me, they're no stranger here. Everybody that listens to the show know the Grip Weeds.
And C.J. Grogan has a great solo album out called New Song 2. And Kurt Ryle and Vince are on that. And that album is really what kind of helped pull me to New Jersey, because when I found out I could get those guys roped into this, I'm like, there was no way it couldn't be at least pretty good. And, of course, it turned out great. It's definitely a band in every sense of the word. The good ideas and almost killing each other and the whole bit.
Boy, as I say, you're very honest, and I really respect that.
Well, it's not like you're, delivering babies or saving lives, but music is fun. It would be hard to imagine going through a day without having that little bit of release. That's still legal as of this morning, anyway. So it can be fun.
Well, anyway, before you close the statements here, all I'm going to say right now. John, the music lives in our souls, man.
There's more stuff to do, and hopefully we will get to do it. We're just going to see how this performs, and when the dust settles, if there's no broken bones, we'll carry forth.
There you go. Well, is there any other closing statements you want to make, John?
No, just thank you and WTSR again for playing us in the exposure. If people want to buy the album on the physical and not just listen to it on your little telephone, Jeremy Morris, who runs Jam Records, has been putting our stuff out physically for years, and I would advise him to visit jamrecordings.com and get a actual physical album. You can stream it if you like, but I don't recommend it.
No. This has to be broad and large in your face.
I don't know if a phone telephone speaker can handle this album.
No. You're going to blow up some speakers. Well, John, listen, I want to thank you for coming on the air today. It's been a nice chat here, and I just got your first track already queued up, Dig the View. Well, John, I'm going to get off I'm going to get off the microphone. You get to play DJ. I want you to introduce this track here, Dig the View. So I'm getting off the microphone. John, the microphone's all yours.
This is Dig the View. This is the latest single from Third of Never from our album Austerity, and turn it up to 11.
Yeah.
And there you have it. John Dawson and Third of Never from the Austerity release, brand new release by Third of Never. Let's go over the tracks. Kidnap Information, 18 Strings, 506, Title Cut Austerity, and we started it off with Dig the View.
You're listening to WTSR Trenton 91.3 FM, the station that invites you to open your mind.